School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now, here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
And welcome on in. It's Basketball U on ESPN 1000. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube. Search ESPN Chicago. We will be doing a stream-only show tomorrow, Shay.
Excited.
You can catch
us. We're gonna have a bracket.
Right? Yeah. It came up on me quickly. I did not think on yesterday. It's like, huh, we're going to have a bracket in 2 days. It feels like a turning of the season almost when you get that sheet of paper in your hand finally and fill out a bracket.
The first day of spring is the day my email inbox floods with tournament bracket requests.
Yes.
From old friends, new friends, old coworkers, new coworkers, all of it.
Yes. But we will have a tournament stream or a Selection Sunday stream for you once the brackets are live. So around 6:30 tomorrow, we will have that for you on our Twitch and YouTube page. So be sure to subscribe there. We'll be breaking down the bracket. We'll tell you everything you need to know to get you ready to win your pools this upcoming tournament season. We did well last year. Yeah. We did very well last year helping some people out. So hopefully we can help you out tomorrow as well. Again, around 6:30 tomorrow, we will be going live on the ESPN Chicago YouTube page and Twitch page. So be there with us. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here talking some college hoops with you, you've got your Sparty Green on today. Happy,
unfortunately,
unofficial St. Patrick's Day in the city. Your Spartans went down yesterday to Purdue. Couple of fun games yesterday.
Yeah.
Really felt like March. UConn St. John's was good. Pitt Carolina was great. We had some upsets yesterday. A bunch of one seeds going down, including Tennessee and Arizona. Tennessee was angling for one, and Arizona for that matter, were angling for that final one seed. Looks like that's going to be Carolina's now.
Rick Barnes going to Rick Barnes. It's just unbelievable to the showing that they had against Mississippi State yesterday, Tennessee. Yeah. Rick Barnes, what did you send yesterday about his
spread record in March? March is a disaster.
I mean, this guy, I've said it time and again, and I will continue to say it as we go through this and prep for the tournament. Rick Barnes and Shaka Smart are untrustworthy bums. Now, listen, I was in on Shaka and Marquette yesterday, but in a week, I'm out. I read, like, Tennessee.
This is where he thrives, though. Like, he does well in conference tournaments, and people only remember him for his Cinderella ride back with VCU, like almost 15, was it 2011, I want to say? And that's all he's remembered by. He's won one tournament game in the last decade, and it came against a 15 seed. We're going to have to do that again next week. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, Rick Barnes against the spread by month since 2005. 52-32-1 in November. 48-43 in December, January 78-74, February 73-80, and March 42-65-4. If you're $100 better, you're down about $2,500.
That is an untrustworthy coach. That is a guy when the calendar flips. And listen, I'm going to get to some in a moment about my school and what I'm hoping for this tournament, because I think I have a coach who's the opposite of Shaka Smart. But the calendar flips with Shaka's teams. Doesn't matter how good Marquette is. I just know he's going to fall on his face. Same deal with Rick Barnes in Tennessee. Calendar flips to March. Last year, it was the same deal. I know this guy's going to fall on his face. Rick Barnes, when's the last time he made a second weekend?
He didn't do it as a two seed when he had Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. Well, I guess last year he last year he did.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, last year he did.
I know he's not making a Sweet 16. It's just like I can enter the tournament knowing Rick Barnes is not making a Sweet 16.
Well, they're one of those teams, too. If Dalton Knecht isn't scoring 35 for them, they're not the vaunted defense they used to be.
It's a lot of sit and stare with that team. It's if he's not connecting, everyone kind of panics.
The same thing with Wisconsin and AJ Store. Like, if AJ Store isn't going off, that team isn't very good. And listen, Those are singular guys that can win you a tournament game. No doubt about it. Those are guys who can go on these epic runs, get you 30 points, 35 points in a game, and we're talking about that game forever because it is iconic in the performance that they put together. But if they're not going out and scoring 30 or so points for this their teams aren't going very far. And we found that out yesterday with Tennessee losing to Mississippi State. So
you know what else I found out yesterday? I'm going back to not that I ever left. I'm not trusting Purdue. I'm sorry. We finally saw, like, Izzo finally was the coach that was like, look, I get your guards have gotten better and can shoot threes. Mm-hmm. We can still force you to run through Edie and do nothing else. And Purdue, like, honestly, if Michigan State could have just hit shots, Purdue would have lost that game. It just, to me, once again, we saw a Purdue team give up on the perimeter and the guard play and run everything through Edie. And it nearly cost them a game against mm-hmm. a Sparty team just couldn't shoot.
If the guards are hitting their shots, that's the best team in the country.
Sure.
But you're asking a lot to get that production game in and game out in the tournament. And if you
run into another coach like Izzo who's going to game plan you well enough that, like, yesterday...
Dude, like, if they play Kelvin Sampson...
Correct.
...in the Final Four, and I don't know if Purdue gets to the Final Four, but if they play Iowa State... Like, if that's their Elite Eight matchup and they play Iowa State, or if they play, I'm trying to see who are some of the other good defensive teams along here, but, like, if they run into the right defensive team who's maybe has a little bit of big depth, that's going to be a problem for them. And that was actually one of the reasons why I thought Purdue was so good a couple years ago when they had Travion Williams, was that in a league like the Big Ten that was full of bigs, you were never going to have your bigs in foul trouble because you were always going to have an elite big man on the floor. And if one guy picked up two fouls, well, guess what? You're throwing in another guy who might even be better. I mean, this was when Zach Edey was a sophomore. And you've seen the evolution of how Purdue they've gone to Zach Edey like strictly at this point. And listen, one of these refs is not going to let him get away with backing his ass down without the basketball in his hands. Those are going to be off-ball offensive fouls with a certain referee at some point. And at that point, and he gets three fouls, this team's going to – they're going to break.
And Lord knows, man, the big stage, the NCAA tournament, there's nothing these refs love more than an offensive foul call.
There
were horrible ones yesterday. I mean, Tyson Walker got called in an offensive foul. It was – I can't remember who the – it might have been Braden Smith guarding him. Mm-hmm. Foot – entirely in the restricted area, mm-hmm. and it gets called an offensive foul. It's like the officials in March, for whatever reason, do not know the difference between a charge and a block.
No.
Every year, and you just gotta like live on the right side of a dice roll.
And I will say this, they've largely done away with the charge. It has to be pretty egregious now for you to actually get a charge at this point. But yes, you're right. Yesterday was bad. And when they had the foot inside the restricted area there, there was the Malik Hall little brush by screen that got called for an offensive foul. That was bad, too. So it's been atrocious. But you and your Spartans, you've got a difficult relationship with them.
Well, I'm wearing a jersey right now.
Draymond Green, you're going to punch someone today, aren't you?
Yes.
You're going to kick me in the nuts before we're out of here.
I am going to get in a fight today. Obviously, St. Patty's, I had to wear something green. This jersey was in the closet, so we went with it. You keep telling me how important it is to make the tournament and how much more fun life is when you're in, because you're going to go on, your fourth consecutive year of not being in the NCAA tournament? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I want four consecutive years.
Third, actually, but yeah.
I want 1 year off. This team does not deserve to get in. They should not get in. 19-14, 10-10 in conference play. You're not a tournament team. I'm sorry. I don't believe that they deserve to take a spot from, honestly, even a team like Indiana State, who I don't think is good, and I also don't really think deserves to be in because they don't have any good wins. They have no wins that I should care about. But when Indiana State is as successful of a season as they do in the Valley, we're going to give this Michigan State team that's been a disappointing embarrassment all year at 19-14 and 10-10 in the Big Ten, we're going to give them a slot in the tournament over one of these mid-majors that grinds in some league play gets a good record, and because they didn't win their tournament, they don't get to go in. That I don't like, A. B, as a fan, I don't want them in. If they get in, I've seen this movie. One of these Michigan State teams gets in, Tom Izzo's going to the Sweet 16. And then the season's going to be painted as some, like, happy ending success story when it clearly was not. Anything short of a Final Four is a failure this season. And I just fear that getting in and getting a couple wins and getting another second weekend trip halts this program from any kind of change. And I don't mean firing Tom Izzo. I mean either Izzo has to change or decide to walk away. And as a fan, that's all I can really hope for. I don't think getting into the tournament helps me in that regard. So I would like to miss because I think it would be the impetus for actual change.
Here's what I think. I think that missing actually hurts that. Because if he misses, again, he's made how many tournaments in a row now? He hasn't missed since 97.
Yeah, 23, is it?
Literally my entire adult life.
26,
I mean, obviously, no one went to the COVID tournament, but, like, that is, 25 tournaments in a row there that he's made? And Tom Izzo, if he misses one and the streak snaps, well, now he's just going to chase the cheese. He's not leaving on a non-tournament season.
Well, I'm not saying I want
him. And he's good enough to get to the tournament, even if he misses. He's good enough to get back.
I'm not even saying I want him to leave. Like, the change that I'm looking for is not necessarily Tom Izzo, new head coach. I need him to get a reality check. I need Tom to maybe miss the tournament so that he can go into this offseason and be like, I kind of do have to get some NIL players. I kind of do have to get into the portal. I got to act a little more like St. John's, who everybody was down on. And then they belonged on a floor with UConn yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So just I want to see the program evolve into modern college basketball. Like, even Purdue is taking transfers, right? Like,
yeah.
I want to see that at my school. And it's not going to happen. I have the fear that it'll be Tom's confirmation bias. If they get into the tournament and they win two games and they're in the Sweet 16, or God forbid the Elite Eight, that, like, everything's good, we can just run this back, and then watch. You're going to have Cohen Carr transfer, or you're going to have Xavier Booker transfer out. And the portal's going to become the enemy that it really is for him, and the program's going to be in worse shape. I need you and I need Potsy to tell me, am I a bad fan for hoping that my team misses the tournament?
Okay, I think given what you want, you're all right. Because
I'm with you there.
I was under the impression that you wanted him out. And if you just want him to adjust his ways, I think this is exactly what you want then. You want them to miss. Now, you're going to need a little bit of help. But I will say, this was a team that entered the season AP number 4. And was bringing back a lot of really important pieces from a very good team.
Yeah.
At least what we saw in March last year. So if you want that sort of change within your program, then yes, I do think you should be rooting against a tournament appearance here. I'm just going to tell you, you're
going to
feel, well, A, you're getting in, and B, you're going to feel very empty when they're not in, because it's all you've known in your life. All you've known in your life is Michigan State is going to get into the tournament every single year. We've got the longest active streak of making the tournament in all of college basketball.
I don't really think I'd feel that empty.
Trust me.
One year off's not so bad.
You get that first weekend, and it's all you've known. It's like, imagine this. Imagine one year, you know what? The Norling family, we're just not going to celebrate Christmas.
That's fine.
I don't know if that's fine. Fine.
What's the problem?
I feel like you're going to feel a sense of emptiness when everyone else you know is celebrating Christmas, when everyone else
what are we
is
gonna
in
do?
The tournament.
Why are we not celebrating Christmas? Are we going on a trip? Are we doing some substitute? Or are we just, like, sitting in our own homes?
Times were tough that year. No presents for anyone. No Christmas. Christmas has been canceled.
Well, that would feel a little empty, but I think...
Yeah, and guess what? No, tough year for you. You had big expectations.
My team not being in it, it's not like the NCAA tournament vanishes because my team's not in it, and I still get to enjoy the tournament.
Yeah, but everyone else gets to celebrate it except for you.
It's not the same.
I would argue it might be better. Now, you...
It could be... it could be better.
You have recently won national titles, so you have something to say about it, but, like, for me, I'm just going to duck pain.
It's false hope.
Right, like the year we made the Final Four and I lost to Texas Tech as a massive favorite after acing out the Zion Duke team, that was pain. The year we got in, lost to Middle Tennessee State, pain. Like there's the UCLA play-in year and then UCLA goes to the Final Four, pain. Like all I've known for the last... When did we win? 2000? The last 24 years, and I'm only 29, all I've known is getting in and losing. All I've known is pain. The home game in 08 against North Carolina in Detroit, championship game, and we got blasted. That one didn't hurt so bad because they just like knew North Carolina was going to spank us. But like, you
what
get
about
the
2018?
Point.
2018 was a disappointing one, too. Like...
You should have to hit a button. Like, yes, no. 2018 when we got beat by... You had like three players total on the team.
They were playing a walk-on.
They were all centers on Syracuse.
They were playing a walk-on in that game.
It was horrible.
I will say this.
Honest to God, that was one of the worst days of my life. Like, if you asked me to chart out...
I was in Detroit for that one.
I know, you told me. If you asked me to chart
that
out...
That was when I had my weird experience with Andy Katz, when he was just being a weirdo.
The five worst days of my life, that's one of them.
Power rank the worst days of your entire life.
Jaren Jackson on the bench for the entire second half. That's one of the worst days of my entire life.
I will say, you guys are on the trend of a perennial, like...
Loser!
A program that's perennially, like, a 1-5 seed. And now the last 3 years, you've gone 11, 7, 7, and then probably a 10 this year. That's the track, especially when you enter the season AP number 4... And in each of the last 4 seasons, you've gotten as high as 12. Those are the years that, I think it would be best for you to miss, or even a first-round exit.
Last 4 seasons in conference, 41-38.
I think that if you go first 4 exit, second-round exit, Sweet 16, and then first-round exit, you're on a good path to get what you want.
Yeah, we need to lose. I don't know. We're going to be an 11 seed. Give me the play-in.
10 or 11.
You know what? Give me the play-in.
Losing Dayton?
Lose to St. John's. The absolute opposite The absolute opposite experience beats us. That's not what I want. A game in Dayton and a loss to St. John's.
That might be the way to go.
Shea doesn't want to go dancing.
Nope. All right.
That's dancing.
Technically, that is dancing.
Yes. All right, when we come back, we will get into some. I want to bring up a stat that I heard that I can't believe I didn't already know, but I want to bring up to you. And also, Duke is being a bunch of losers again. Again, for like the third time this week. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Season future on who?
On Duke.
Did you know about this, Fonzie? This guy wouldn't bet on Duke for one game.
Yeah,
preseason future for the title.
They've pissed me off this year.
What?
They've pissed me. I mean, I've told you. John Shire's on strike two with me. He got a fresh, new, clean slate. And now he's on strike two with me.
I'm so disappointed in you. I thought you were
not going to win.
I thought you were a true born and bred Duke hater. Well, now you might hate him more because they failed you monetarily. But I thought you were a true Duke hater.
All right, so this is a stat that I did not know, but is fascinating to me and is certainly relevant this year. No team has ever lost the opener in their conference tournament and gone on to win the NCAA tournament.
Damn.
So,
RIP Duke.
KU.
6 of the top 15 teams in the odds right now all lost their conference tournament openers. Duke, Creighton, Kansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. 6 of them. So if you're going off of that, and you're taking the top 15 in odds. And let's be honest, the top 15 teams in the odds usually win the NCAA tournament. There's six teams by this metric, by this logic, and it makes sense both numbers-wise and even if like an eye test thing-wise too. Six teams you can cross off when you're filling out a bracket because no team has ever gone on to win at all. And the one team I'll give an exception to on this list is Potsy's KU Jayhawks.
I knew it.
Because they were missing their two best players, but those two guys are for certain going to be back.
Yeah, they both will be back. McCuller could have played last game if he needed to be. Hunter just needed a couple days, but they'll both be healthy.
Oakland University's coming for you.
Yeah, it's going to be...
It's going to make it tense upstairs.
I'm real nervous because we're going to be a four seed, man. I haven't been a four seed since I was like 10 years old.
Oh, Jesus. Woe is me.
Here we're talking
never
about
been
me
a four seed.
Making the tournament every year, and this guy, I haven't been a four seed since before I had hair on my you-know-what. Like,
unbelievable.
On.
Get out of here, Potsy.
Who are you? Look, man, I still kind of just look at this board, and I feel the way I felt most of the year. It's Houston, and it's UConn, and I don't really care about anyone else. Like, this is as much parity and upset fever as you get watching the tournament. This is traditionally an event that is won by the best teams.
Can I ask you about one other team I want to lump in there? North Carolina.
I'm interested. Because, okay, so the difficult thing with North Carolina is... Going into, like, the second week of January, I was really high on them. Mm-hmm. And then they had a bit of a rougher spell. And not that they, like, it was some disaster. They just had a couple rough games. The Clemson game stuck out. A couple rough spots in ACC play that shook me off of them. But now it's starting to feel like, look, beating Duke twice, including the finale in Cameron, were kind of was a spanking. Like, it really
they
wasn't.
Dominate. I think
the score is a little closer than the game was. That was never in question.
Yeah. They led that thing like wire to wire.
To win both against Duke like that down the stretch, to be playing well in your conference tournament, like you're now looking at North Carolina with the Arizona loss, could sneak into a one seed, and I'm kind of back in on the Tar Heels, especially at the odds, but it's like 16-1.
Yeah. I'm really in on this Carolina team. I mean, you think about it, you've got a great guard, maybe the best guard in the country. With RJ Davis, you've got a great experienced big who's played in the Final Four. I mean, you've got a guard and center combination that's played in the Final Four, played in a national championship before with Baycott and RJ Davis. Elliot Cadeau's a fantastic freshman guard for that team. And then you've got Harrison Ingram, who kind of plays the Brady Manick role. And then Cormac Ryan out of nowhere has his games where he goes ballistic too. That feels like a very complete team. And you've got some pieces coming off the bench with Seth Trimble. And it feels like a big Carolina year. And it's a group that's been to a championship game before, has a bad taste in their mouth from that championship game. They had disappointment last year.
Yeah, no kidding.
But now a chance to get back there and play in the role where the target's on their back. And I think they're equipped for that. They went 17-3 in the ACC this year. They've won their last eight games, and if they win the ACC tournament tonight against NC State, it'll be 9 in a row, a lot of momentum, regular season and conference tournament champions. It feels like a team with a lot of momentum that does a lot of things very well, that's got experience. They score the basketball. It's a traditional great Carolina rebounding team as well. I'm really in on this Carolina team, and I have been for a little bit now. Sure, they had their hiccups in the regular season, but... Like, Georgia Tech beat good teams this year. Georgia Tech went 4-1 in quad one games. Clemson was a good team this year. They're going to be in the tournament. They're going to be a 5 or a 6 seed.
Very underrated on defense, too. I believe they're like 7th or 6th on KenPom defensively.
North Carolina, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And their offense, 23rd, like the efficiency rating there is not exactly what you want to see, but they're playing in a way right now where I feel like they're getting better. And, dude, like, another thing... When people look at the bracket tomorrow, I know the popular deal right now is like a 16 seed's going to upset buddy. If somebody, a 15 seed's going to upset somebody. We got a four-headed monster. If North Carolina ends up being a one seed, there is no way you can pick a 16 in this bracket if you're feeling a little ballsy and want to go off recent trends.
We've seen it. twice in the last, what is that now, 6 years?
Yeah, you're going to have Houston, which likely to be a conference champion, UConn, likely to be a conference champion, Purdue, likely to be a conference champion, and potentially conference champion North Carolina. Like, you might have one seeds who all played through their conference tournaments and won them. They aren't getting upset.
Well, the counterpoint to that is, what did Purdue do?
True, last year.
Purdue was a regular season and conference tournament champion last year and was running through everyone.
They're not going to lose to a 16.
No, listen, I'm with you.
And they're the only candidate. Like, I think North Carolina's a juggernaut. I think Connecticut's a juggernaut. I think Houston's a juggernaut.
Houston, I don't know what the status of Juwan Roberts is moving forward. He got injured yesterday, but you got a couple injuries in that Houston team, and they play at such a slow pace.
It's true.
If I had to pick one of the four, I'd probably pick Houston, but I'm not picking any of them.
And got to be fair across the board. If we're going to slander Rick Barnes and Shaka Smart for not getting over the hump in the tournament, now Kelvin Sampson's not quite to the same degree. He's got a Final Four, but he's another guy who's just consistently not gotten it done. Mm-hmm. But you can say that for. How many coaches actually get it done in this sport?
Right. It's the hardest championship to win in all of sports.
We could say, like, outside of Danny Hurley, I can tell you Matt Painter hasn't gotten it done. I can tell you Kelvin Sampson hasn't gotten it done. Hubert Davis, I don't know what you want to do. Like, he made the title, and then he missed the tournament the next season.
Yeah.
So,
and he very well could get back to the title this year.
Right. It's like Bruce Pearl hasn't gotten it done. Rick Barnes hasn't. Like, all these guys I could go through. John Shire, we don't know yet, but. Boy, losing your opener in the ACC tournament after dropping a home game against North Carolina
to all teams, the one team you can't lose to if you're Duke. The one team.
NC State. The Wolfpack.
You can't, like, you lose to Carolina, you're not happy, but Carolina's Carolina. Carolina's a team that is a traditional power. You're going to lose games to Carolina. You can't lose to NC State.
Yeah.
That is little brother in the state, and the fact, I mean, Duke fans have to be sick to their stomachs to see a North Carolina NC State ACC championship. You want to know how sick they are, by the way?
Yeah, I do want to know.
I got to bring this up. This was tweeted yesterday from Gregory Hall. From an inside source, a Duke law student, they're down atrocious in Durham right now. An email was sent out to the students. Let's show them some love. Calling all Duke basketball fans, we need your help. Please join us today at 12:50 on Kville, that's Krzyzewskiville, to show our guys some much-needed love and support as their buses return to Cameron, concluding an exceptionally difficult week. I know this is short notice.
Hold on. Pause. Exceptionally difficult week. You lost to NC State. Nobody died. It's like, just accept that you lost a game.
They're holding a vigil in Kville.
It was an exceptionally difficult week. We lost our entire family in the floods. No, you lost to NC State. It's not the end of the world.
We won't sugarcoat it. This has been a frustrating last two games, but disappointment does not mean disregard. This team has worked their asses off for us all year and has provided some incredible moments we all shared. Right now, with emotions high and morale low as they prepare for the NCAA tournament, they need us more than ever.
Oh, my God.
We see this as a potential inflection point where instead of letting frustrations fizzle out our season, we can choose positive support to help fuel the final stretch. What a sack of losers.
Everybody come to Kville for the circle bleep. Come to Kville for the circle bleep. We all need to support our Duke team.
This is unbelievable. Jeez. Like, it is. And I've said this. I've told you this story before. I've been down in Durham for an NCAA tournament game. I was there when Syracuse played Duke. And we went to, like, one of the local bars with students there. I heard more conversations about echolocation than I did about the actual basketball game, which was a Sweet 16 game. I heard more conversations about echolocation.
Well, they all
what the hell is that?
They all doing the classic. the engineering degree. Like,
it's unbelievable. I mean, this fan base has found a way to embarrass themselves to levels unseen in the last week. First, threatening to kill RJ Davis. Second, was throwing stuff on the floor after losing to Carolina. Third, the coach apologizes to the student fan base and the seniors for losing to Carolina. While, I mean, John Shire was the girl on the swing with the fire in the background. That's what John Shire, like, there was disaster going on in the background while he's going and apologizing to the students. And then you have this, the candlelit vigil for losing to NC State to try to propel the troops to get back out there and go win in the NCAA tournament.
By the way,
unbelievable.
Earth to John Shire. Well, you're busy apologizing to your fan base for vomiting on yourself at home against North Carolina. What's worse, storming a court or threatening to kill a player and throwing things at them?
I didn't even bring up the Kyle Filipowski trip either. Like, my goodness, thank God that leg's healthy so he could go trip players.
We're going to get on the podium and weep about a court storming. Cutscene 1 week later, flips tripping players. Your fans are throwing things at them.
0 days since last Duke embarrassment. We'll make our picks for the conference tournament championships and semifinal games when we come back. We've also got a parlay to craft as well. That's coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Picks coming up in just a second, but first want to remind everybody that we will be on tomorrow. We're not going to be on ESPN 1000, but you can catch us with a Selection Sunday stream. We will be doing a little stream on our YouTube and Twitch channel where Shay and I are going to break down the bracket. So around like 6:30 or so, we will be on YouTube and Twitch. So be sure to subscribe, and that way you'll know when we go live. So we will be breaking down the bracket, helping everyone out with their brackets as well. We can read through some of the comments and stuff and help people out with picks and stuff
chat.
Like that.
Chat, yeah, what do you think, chat?
Chat. What do you think? Let us know in the comments. We'll do that. Tomorrow's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be lots to break down because we will finally have a bracket tomorrow.
I don't know why
it feels like it snuck up on us this year because
it came quick.
But it is.
Pause, excuse me?
Pause.
What's it going
to
say?
All right, let's get to the picks.
You know what? That just canceled the stream tomorrow. We're no longer streaming.
Tyler needed a minute after that. That was... But I'm like watching the wires fire in real time.
I was like, did he really say... But no, we are going to... Or the Selection Sunday came later than usual this year. So...
I like it. This is where it should be.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm wearing the... Shamrock sunglasses. I'm going out today.
You've got your Spartan colored glasses on.
Having St. Patrick's Day without the NCAA tournament is fantastic. I get to enjoy both weekends. This is great. This is how it should always be.
Lil Kevin, the Twitch chat, has a good point. It snuck up on us because we have all been talking about Fields and Caleb Williams. That's a good point.
Yep. That is true. All right, Potsy.
All right, what do you got, Potts?
All right, guys, let's start in the Big Ten. It's a semifinal game. We got Purdue in Wisconsin. Purdue is -5.5 favorites.
I bet a little Wisconsin +6 this morning when I woke up.
+6.5 when I looked at it.
I'm liking what Wisconsin's been doing in this tournament. Yesterday, look, Boo Booey,
shooting the lights out.
Yeah, and Boo Booey yesterday started that game.
He was
on
phenomenal
fire.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin weathered the storm. Shot the lights out again. I'm really liking what they've been able to do. If they can limit Purdue the way Michigan State did yesterday, I think they can win this game. But I'm taking the 5.5.
Hey, I'll join you on that. I just look at Wisconsin. They've been on this run, and it's been on the heels of shooting. And they've got bigs that can not stop Zach Edey, but can give them fits, I think. So, yeah, I'll roll with Bucky.
I'm going to go Purdue here in this one. I'll take the 5.5. We're moving on to the SEC tournament semifinal game. Mississippi State versus Auburn. Auburn is -7.5 in this one. Is that too many points?
I think that's where I want to lean into it a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to bet this game today, but if I were, Auburn would be the only way I would look.
Mississippi
State, huge win yesterday. Went out and just murdered Tennessee. I wonder if you can get the energy back today after that kind of a win to go up against a real beast in Auburn. I'm going to lay the points here.
Low scoring game, but I'm with you. I will still take Auburn in the points. I think it could be one of those like 65-55 games.
Yeah.
I'm with both you guys. I'm going to lean Auburn in this one. I just
Auburn's
don't think.
Auburn's just killing teams
yeah,
right now.
Guys, I have a future on them too. To
win the SEC. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, we tailed together.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right. How about this one? In the A-10 semifinal game, we got St. Joe's versus VCU. VCU is -2.5.
I'm not going to pretend like I've watched a ton of VCU or St. Joe's this year, but Potsy, I woke up this morning and you said VCU -2 was
I'm
the
on
move.
VCU.
Mm-hmm. I played a little VCU -2. I'm going to pick VCU here.
I'll join you guys. By the way, do you know who the color analyst for St. Joe's is on the radio?
Help me out.
No.
Joe Lenardi.
I did know that. You told me that. Mm-hmm. You informed me that a year, because here I am. I'm like everybody else. I thought Joe Lenardi was cryogenically frozen from the end of the tournament until about February 15th. Yeah.
All right, we're going to the Big Ten. We got Nebraska and Illinois. Illinois is only 4.5 yesterday. That game though, yesterday for Illinois, it was pretty close. It got chippy at the end.
Yeah, Illinois survived Ohio
State.
That's
the word to say.
Yeah,
should have lost.
Well, I think they led for like 70 seconds.
The entire second half, I believe, Ohio State was up.
So Illinois survives yesterday, and now your treat is Nebraska, who's coming off of.
They were hot last night. Hot.
I was on Indiana. Nebraska absolutely slaughtered.
Hot.
I don't really know what to do with this game, but I think I'm just going to lay the points with Illinois. I don't believe in Nebraska. Yeah. I don't think Nebraska's on this like actual magic carpet going to win the Big Ten kind of ride. I'm going to go with Illinois.
What's the number you said?
4.5.
For
Illinois.
I'm going to take Nebraska. They're another one of those hot shooting teams, and I think they ride yesterday's momentum.
I got Illinois in this one. All right, we're going back to the SEC. The other semifinal game, we got the Florida Gators versus Texas A&M. Florida is currently -3.5.
The number's kind of funky to me. I feel like Florida should be a little bit bigger of a favorite than they are in this spot, especially after hammering Bama yesterday. Because of that, and because I want to support my friend in his long-shot bet, 100-1 to win it. I'm going to go with Texas A&M. Keep the points. They beat Florida outright.
I'm with you. Wade Taylor's been a closer, and we saw it yesterday in the A&M and Kentucky game. And I've got my 100-1 on Texas A&M to win the SEC. So let's ride with the Aggies in
this one. Matter of fact, we'll keep going. I'm going to get the app open, and I'm going to bet Texas A&M money line in a show of unity with my friend.
All right, or you're mushing me.
What does that make me? Because I'm on the Gators. I'm a bad guy.
You're a bad guy.
I'm taking the Gators in this one. A&M, they got some great guard play, but Florida, man, they're big. They got like 4 7-footers. Man, I love this team. So I got the Gators 3.5 in this one. Let's move on to the Big 12. We got Houston -5.5 versus Iowa State.
Houston crushes them.
Yeah, I'm done with this. Like, can somebody,
kill
them?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm so sick of this.
A bunch of roaches.
I was on Baylor yesterday.
Me too.
I'm like, get Iowa State out of Hilton. They'll just get murdered.
I'm done.
I need Houston to absolutely stop this team today.
Yep, I'm with you.
I'm with Houston. I'm laying it with my heart. Go Cougs.
All right, guys. How about this game? UConn Marquette. UConn is 9.5.
Here's the question. Is Kolek going to play today?
He's not playing.
He can't read.
Is that official?
I'm pretty sure he's out until the March Madness tournament.
He can't read.
There's some rumblings that he could play today.
That he can read?
This is one of the greatest fake narratives of all time.
We need the John Rothstein breaking.
Kolek is playing today and can read.
That's anarchy? Great. Nope. Just college basketball.
This is such a tough one because, like, Shaka good in conference tournaments.
I think 9.5. Although the last time they played UConn,
I got UConn by a lot.
I'm going to lay it with UConn. Mm-hmm. UConn's too good. And look, the St. John's thing, I think St. John's a lot better than people would have thought going into that. I was on St. John's yesterday, but Marquette, and I just love nothing more than Faden Shaka. So go Huskies. F it.
I'll go Marquette in this one, but I'm not actually playing the game.
All right, let's make this one real quick, and then I got one more after that. We got New Mexico and San Diego State for the Mountain West Championship. San Diego State.
I don't even need to know the number, New Mexico. Go Rich Pitino.
Yeah.
New Mexico is dogs, by the way. It's +2.5.
I'm rooting for Ricky in this one. Give me New Mexico as well. Go Lobos.
I'll join you guys. I'm on New Mexico here. The final game probably could be the game of the day, even though the spread doesn't say so. North Carolina versus NC State.
How about the finish last night in D.C.?
UNC's 9.5 favorites.
Oh, buzzer beater. Yesterday was a big March feel. Banked in buzzer beater. By the way, how about my old coach sparking this entire fever dream for NC State right now? You hear this from Jim Boeheim?
Tell me, what is this celebration right here?
I don't know why anybody that's got the recent history of these guys is celebrating.
Oh, my.
Anything. Except, I guess, being here.
Oh, my God. Jim.
This guy's an idiot. Did he not look at a bracket and see that the winner of that game was facing Syracuse? Moron. Built up all this bulletin board material.
Yeah. By the way, Jimmy, how's recent history at Syracuse?
Yeah.
Anyway, at North Carolina, look, 9.5. It's one of those spots, man. Like, you've got a really highly ranked team just favored by a number that feels a little too big. You might want to lean into it and take the favorite. Flip side, rivalry game in a conference title game. North Carolina, NC State, in-state rivals. And NC State's just hot.
They're chippy, too.
They're on that magic ride right now. North Carolina doesn't need this as bad as NC State needs it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's hard for me to not take the Wolfpack. I'm gonna take the 9.5.
Yeah, I'll join you. I think Carolina wins by 7.
It's going to be close. NC State, they're playing for something, though, so I'm going to take them to cover. Tar Heels will win the game. DJ Horn and DJ Burns, two ballers.
Dude, we need Indiana State, NC State, and Dayton.
Yeah.
Need.
Mm-hmm. All right, that wraps it up, guys.
Indiana State's not getting in, right?
I don't.
Some things would have to shake out.
It's going to be on if the committee wants to or not, really.
All right, when we come back, we'll craft our parlay. It's coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Don't forget, we will be live on the stream tomorrow around 6:30, breaking down the brackets, because we will have one in our hands finally tomorrow. It will be on Twitch and YouTube, so be sure to subscribe on both, and you will know when we are live and talking all things college basketball and helping you out with your brackets. All right, time to craft our parlay. What you got, Shay?
When someone tells you who they are, you should listen to them. Yesterday, Purdue finally, once again, told us who they are. They didn't shoot threes really at all. Not only did they not shoot them well, they didn't attempt very many, certainly not from the guards. And everything was going through Zach Edey. If Michigan State had shot decently, they would have lost that game. I think Wisconsin, on fire, shooting the deep ball right now. I'm going to take the Badgers and the 6 today.
All right. I am going to take Colorado. They were in a great game yesterday. And I don't know if Oregon can replicate what they did against Arizona yesterday. Oregon, I think, a little lucky to be here right now. So give me Colorado minus the 2.5 over the Ducks.
I'll go VCU. I was leaning Florida, but you know what? I don't want to be a bad guy to you, Aki. So I'm going to go VCU here. I believe they're 2.5.
Yes.
So we'll go with 2.5 VCU. I think they can come out of the A-10. It's the semifinal game today. All right. Oh, no, it's the championship game, isn't it? Yeah, so I'll go VCU to win it all.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of one of the other teams, we put you on the stand last week, Potsy, with Temple.
Go on.
Temple's 4-0 since they faced the allegations.
4-0
since the allegations. They're in the American champion. Is it? No, semifinals. As an 11 seed.
I got to tell you, though, it might have been a better idea to just lose. Because then you could at least go, we just suck. Instead, you're like, no, yeah, we really were losing on purpose. Like, we really are good, and we were losing on purpose.
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's the best strategy.
You're probably right, yeah.
All
right. But anyway, Wisconsin plus 5.5, Colorado minus 2.5, VCU minus 2.5. You round it all up together, you get plus 568 on FanDuel. All right, that is going to do it for us. Don't forget, we've got our stream tomorrow, 6:30, YouTube and Twitch. Be there. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to help you out with your brackets. We'll break it all down with you tomorrow. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.